Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
We're live!
Honestly, how Dad felt there is how I felt last night walking into Best Buy to buy my PlayStation. Because
you really bought a PlayStation yesterday?
I did, yeah. Yeah. But I had the realization that kind of like when people talk about they haven't been dating in a while and so they're not used to the apps and stuff, I didn't really know what I needed to buy outside of just the console. Like, I had forgotten what cords come with it. Do I have to get an extra controller? Apparently, you don't even need discs anymore. Like, you can just buy all these video games online in the PlayStation Store now. It's fascinating.
So you wouldn't need anything else, right? You just buy the box. Is everything in the box that you need, or do you need to buy extra?
No, I had everything in the box. It all came prepared. Surprise, surprise. They've done this before, and I'd imagine like to sell video games to people even dumber than me. But I walked it, like, I had the thing where I sheepishly, so after I got done, I went to Chipotle and grabbed dinner. And then there was GameStop right next to Chipotle. And so I walked in there to see if they had, I wanted to get the Harry Potter video game, and I wanted to get The Last of Us, because that's what prompted all this, is I've been watching The Last of Us on HBO.
Wait, and there's a Last of Us game?
Oh, yeah.
That's based off
a video game. Yeah.
It's like one of the most beloved video games of all time. Devin Kane, our former friend at ESPN, said in his mind, it's like a top 10 story of all time, like film, book, movie, otherwise.
Devin's still our friend. You said former friend.
Oh, yeah.
former co-worker.
Rest in peace, Devin.
Sorry, Devin. I guess you're
accidentally killing you. Yeah. Wow. But it was really weird because I was walking back into this environment. I haven't owned a game console like this since I was 26, and so I felt like Dad because I wasn't sure about what to do.
Now, I have heard that the game people are not real happy with the show. They say it doesn't really follow it very well. I don't know if that matters. Because the show on HBO is phenomenal, but
it's obviously going to be different. It's not a video game. Add more to it.
Yeah, I have no idea what the video game is like. I've never seen it in my life, so I
don't
know.
Did you play the video game last night?
So no, I was letting it download last night. So I was playing God of War Ragnarok last night, which is also incredible. I've watched that. I've watched the gameplay for that for years on YouTube. So to get to actually go through it myself is incredible. A lot of the video game stuff, I have a feeling there's some slight homophobia in there after how it went in episode 3 in the Bill and Frank episode, the Nick Offerman episode where you had that love story, because that was very different than the adaptation in the game. But a lot of the other stuff is just like what they had to do because of where they were shooting. Like in the most recent episode, spoiler alert, if you're not caught up on The Last of Us HBO and you're in this chat, in the most recent episode or one of the most, you're not caught up, Mikey A.
No, but go for it anyway. At this point, it becomes my fault.
So no, this is a non-spoiler spoiler, but as they're on the road to try and go and find Joel's brother, in the video game, they go through Pittsburgh. in the TV show, they go through Kansas City. And that's because where they were filming, you couldn't realistically have sold it as Pittsburgh. And so they had to kind of make a concession. So a lot of it's been minor stuff like that, that you sort of have to do in the name of telling the story on TV.
Why would anybody get bummed out about that?
I don't know, because again, I've never seen the video. And the last video game I played, no lie, was probably Super Mario, probably 2 decades ago. So, I mean,
seems on brand.
Yeah, it does. You talk about your uneasiness of buying a game console. I'm like, I would have no clue walking in and trying to do that now. No clue at all.
It just seems like it would be easier just because everything has gotten easier.
Everything has gotten easier and more wireless. Out of it. Right. Just like you said, you don't have to get the discs anymore. You can just download everything.
See, you say it's easier, but I still see your face.
Yeah.
I still see your face when we start a Zoom and I go, easier or different?
The face is the face. The face. You know what? I've tried to stare, open my eyes, mm-hmm. not have that, but I can't help it. It's my look. It's my modern technology look.
Yes, yes.
It's it.
It is. It's technology face. I don't know. It all just goes back to, I was brushing my teeth this morning and I just had the realization, this is not what I pictured 33 would be like. Like, I bought a video game console for the first time in 7 years. I wear a night guard so religiously at night now because I grind my teeth that I actually had a dream last week where in the dream I was walking around and had to take out my mouth guard in the dream and was just carrying it around with me. I was that dutiful about the thing where I was taking it on and off inside the dream.
Sydney, do you still wear yours?
I physically cannot fall asleep if I don't have my retainer in for my TMJ. It's so sad. Like, it just feels different and I can't relax because I don't like my teeth touching anymore. Like, I need the big, like, mouth guard in.
Oh, well, I have one from Invisalign and they gave me the one that you get at the end. And for some reason, I cannot sleep with it in my mouth anymore.
I think what's interesting here is, Sydney, you talk about the stuff you wear at night. You're married. I mean, all is you know, no issue there. Mike, you're single, and you just basically talking about how you just bought a game console and wear a night guard. You're going to be single for a long fucking time.
I was just going to say, I just added to the single juice. Yeah.
You're settling in real nice.
You're a cat away from having bingo.
give it time, Mikey. God. Give it time.
Oh my God.
Oh God.
Wow.
Speaking of bingo.
Oh jeez.
Yeah. Sid, welcome to Sorry in Advance, the Golic Family Podcast. I'm Mike Golic Jr. These are my parents. This is my sister. Yeah, speaking of bingo, Mom, what were you going at?
I wanted Sid to tell, we went out to dinner the other night. What did you and Ben do before we went to dinner the other night?
I don't even know whose idea it was. I feel like it was a combination idea, but we hang out with Mom and Dad a lot because they live like 10 minutes away. And so they're like, hey, do you guys want to go to dinner on Friday? We're like, sure. So a few days before, Ben and I were sitting on the couch and we were bored. And I was like, you know what? We should make like a bingo board of all the like standard dumb shit Dad says every single time without fail when we're together, like mostly like geared towards out to dinner. And so we put together a bingo board and there was a ton of spaces. So good for you. We couldn't fill them all because you're so simple that you just stick with like the same like seven. So I don't know if it's a good or a bad thing, but with the combination of what we put down and then some free spaces, we got like 4 sets of bingos when we came back from dinner.
Just give some examples of what you had on the board.
Asking for a local beer.
So
every time.
That's the number one part of an experience going out to eat with my dad, who all growing up for us was never really a drinker. We never, like, my parents never drank when we were growing up. But when my dad would go out to dinner, he would just have like a beer. And my dad likes beer because it's tasty and it gets him a little bit drunk. And that's about it. Doesn't know anything about the different kinds of beer. Doesn't want to know anything about the different kinds of beer. And so when he shows up there, he asks a waiter or waitress, can I just have something local that's on tap? And to watch his face the minute they start to try and explain, well, we've got, you know, this, we've got this white, we've got this. I just
he goes,
a local beer.
I don't just local. You pick it. You pick it.
I don't understand why that's a bad thing. I mean, what has everybody here gone to a restaurant and at one point asked the waiter or waitress, how was this particular meal? Or how was that particular meal? You all have done it. I'm just doing that with beer. That's all I'm doing is I like local beer. You probably know the local flavors better than I do. Just bring me one. I don't understand why that's such a dadism.
Mike, because yeah, it's every single fucking time.
Yeah.
Well, it's no, a different place. It's a different fucking waiter or waitress every time.
There's so many local beers. We go to three of the same restaurants.
I was going to say, it's like, you likened it to asking how something is on a menu. You don't do that. You point to an area of the menu and say, pick my dinner.
Right.
Like, you don't give them any inclination about what you like.
What you like.
Just say, here, other adult, pick my dinner from this entire menu, knowing nothing about what I like.
And what's so, I usually say what I like. They sometimes will ask, do you like it weedy? Do you like it fruity?
And then you go, surprise me.
Yes. Yeah, then I'll say, listen, whatever you like, give it a shot.
Is that on the board?
Two or three beers?
I said, one of the squares is, has waiter pick local for him. He didn't do that at dinner. He picked his own, but he did get a local beer.
Surprise me should be on there.
Well, because the local beers at this place were all told where they were from and such and what they were. So it was a little easier just to pick one. So I don't know why that's a big issue. I don't understand why I get mocked for that.
It's the not narrowing. That's the problem. If I handed you a menu and said, pick my dinner, and you brought me a tofu salad, we're fighting. But like, if I said anything with beef and then you brought me a burger, I'd be like, okay, I said beef. This is what they brought.
No, but that's what I'm saying. I'm saying anything local, which takes away a lot of the beer menu. It only leaves a few beers because there's no Bud or Bud Light or Mick Light or whatever all the other shit is. It's local. So we are down to probably a list, depending on where you are, of four or five beers. So that, in my opinion, that is like saying, give me a beef product, and then they would be out of beef product. I'm specifically saying, give me a local beer.
We know Dan struggles to make decisions. I think this is just a way of pushing off making a decision.
Listen, I fight back, and I want people to chime in on this one. I don't think this is a bad thing that I asked somebody to pick me a local
beer. Just been doing it for like the last like 8 years.
So what? We go to different restaurants.
This is to me and Dad. You've got allies in the chat. Shannon Maloney says, my dad always did that too. Stephanie Wilson says, I wish I could do that. I hate making decisions. SCC Vindictive says, I've never had a local beer where I'm from. I always just stick to my normal beer. Dad, this is just indicative of what you do in other areas of your life where you don't want to learn about what to do there. You just want someone else to do it. This is mom with your iPad passwords. This is you with the microphone that you use for podcasting. You don't care to learn about what's going on. If someone else is there and willing to do it for you, great. If not, you will do the same thing.
So in essence, what you're saying is I'm smart. I'm letting other people do the work for me.
You've essentially done like the Steve Jobs outfit for your life, where you just wore a black turtleneck every day.
Sid, what were some of the other squares?
Didn't like it at all. You always say that when your plate is empty. You didn't say that at dinner, surprisingly.
You didn't say it, no.
You said yumma yumma pause in the tumma. That was Ben's contribution. You go,
was that checked off last week?
Did that.
Yeah, I did.
So these are all the ones checked off now. Yumma yumma pause in the tumma. And then when you go, that was Ben. When you like think it's real good, you go, this was mine. I knew you were going to ask to split two desserts. And what did we do? We split two desserts. You told mom that there was a wedge. And
they have a wedge.
They have a wedge. That's my
and then
line,
you talked about the two trainers with their two names. We have two trainers at Orange Theory, Anthony and Randy. And he just
who's
puts
Anthony?
His own.
Who's
does
Anthony?
That every
who's
fucking
Anthony?
Time. And Randy. Then the other guy is Randy. And he goes like that. So we knew he was going to say that at dinner. Yeah, so pretty much almost all of them you nailed. So.
Oh, and I mean, I went to dinner with you guys when I was in town, and it's down to exactly what Dad will order. Like, as soon as they walked in, they looked at the list of appetizers, and there was one particular dip that I saw Ben and Sydney both just mutter under their breath, like, oh, Dad's going to go for this. And right after the waiter comes over.
We were about to walk over to the restaurant, and Ben, Mike, and I were in the kitchen without Mom and Dad, and I go, you guys, he's going to ask for the chips and dip. He does it every single fucking time. We go to Proof like 3 times a week. Every time he looks, huh, chips and dip. Every time. 10 minutes later, we walk over there. He goes, huh, chips and dip. That sounds good.
Can I ask you a question? When you guys go to the same place, are there times where you order the same thing, maybe the same appetizer?
It like it's the first time you've seen it on the menu, like every time.
10-second Tom.
And what? There was one time, this was on it, you didn't say it. You said one time you went to dinner with Ben and I. It was a modern Italian place. And everything, it's just an Italian restaurant, but they put all of the stuff in Italian. But it's just lasagna. It's just spaghetti. Like, but it just looks fancier because it's in Italian. And you went, this place is too fancy. It's too fancy, you guys. And we're like, Dad, it's literally just like, it's meatballs, it's spaghetti, it's just an Italian. And so we had that on the bingo board, but you did not say that. So.
I did not say that, no.
Because it wasn't too fancy.
Because it wasn't too fancy.
Oh, my God.
And then they proceeded to talk about my funeral, where at some point everybody's just going to get up and give their favorite dadism. Fucking awesome. Now they've killed me off.
Well, we came up with a good idea. We were going to play You're Going to Miss This. And then in the musical part in the middle, yeah, we're going to have everybody like give their little dad.
That's what I said. You guys mock me, but you're going to miss this. You're going to want this back. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. Let's see.
You're going to wish this wedge hadn't gone by so fast. What's
so who won bingo?
Oh, this feels nice.
It was just a mocking thing, Mikey.
It was more just an experimental thing.
Yeah.
Like, okay. We got home from dinner, and Ben and I filled it out. So.
I was wondering if there was any leading. Like, do you want those chips and dip, maybe? Like, leading to where you needed him to go.
Mikey, it's way too fucking easy. You don't even need to, man.
I uttered a few of them, and that's when they laid out the fact that they made a bingo card, to which, again, I'm just their fucking, bashing toy. That's what I am. And she, my wife, is the ringleader of it, for God's sake.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, whatever.
You know what it is? It's just the radio host in you, where you understand, I've got some bits that I can go to here. Being consistent is great for content. So really, this is just 20 years of morning radio ingrained into who you are as a person now.
Judy said consistency. Judy,
yep.
Yeah.
Golic Senior. Yep.
I like Stephanie. What's the food spread going to be like at the funeral? That's a nice job, Stephanie.
Yeah.
Well thought out, because there will be a good spread. There is no doubt about that.
I think everybody walking in will get a cake pop. Like, yeah. We just have to set the tone.
There'll be a lot of dessert, without question.
I was going to say, I think the only green there will be the wedge salad.
Yeah. And the locals.
Local beer.
Solemn, delicious cake pop.
And we'll have the best local on tap.
I want the tap, every one of them, to just say local on it. There won't be any names of the beer. You won't have any idea what beer's inside. It's just going to say local beer.
Yeah, Dad just wants us all to drink a local. That's it.
Well, everyone raise the local.
Oh, my God. Okay. Whatever. Hey, enjoy. Have your fun, you bastards.
We have fun. Hey, if you can't laugh at yourself, that's what
you're saying. Or if you can't laugh at me.
Are you?
Right? Yeah.
It's fun to laugh at you.
Yeah, whatever.
It is. It is. Mm-hmm. Very good. Beer-infused cake pops. Hubba hubba.
Oh, there you go.
I also forgot today was Fat Tuesday, speaking of all this food. Did anyone get a king cake?
I was just talking with your mother about that. We need to get a king cake. It reminds me of when we did the Super Bowl in New Orleans one year, back with Mike and Mike. We had a counter at the bottom of the screen, and it was just during the hours of the show, for the shows we had there, I had 42 beignets during that week. So
yes,
probably what contributed
that's when you really
to the
spiked your diabetes.
Type 2 diabetes
during the week. Yes. And on air.
That was during the show.
Yeah, it was only during the show on air.
It was only during the show.
Only during the show, only when we were on air.
I thought it was one show, though. I thought you had 42 in one show.
No. It was for, I can't remember at that point if we were there. We started out years ago going Monday to Friday and then just Wednesday to Friday. It might have just been Wednesday to Friday. So it was a healthy amount each day. Get it from Café du Monde, which is phenomenal. So, yeah.
I tried to order a king cake. There was a place I wanted to order a king cake from Gold Belly. And it kept sending me a notice saying it was available. But every time I would click, it would say coming soon. And it just never, I never got it.
Big fan of king cake. Yeah. Big fan.
So.
It's one of those things that's so good, you wonder why we only eat it once a year.
I agree.
It's probably only available, right? I mean, nobody probably makes it any other time of year.
They should just
right?
make it year-round, though.
I think you can get it year-round. I think you can get it offline year-round.
If you tried real hard.
Places in New Orleans, yeah.
If I tried real hard.
Yeah.
Can I have your local king cake?
Local.
Exactly.
A local.
Yeah. I'd take a local king cake, because that one, they're going to do it great.
Me too. So.
Sorry, I'm staring in, looking at the comments. Looking at the comments.
Okay.
See, he's, oh my God.
He's so feisty.
Uh-huh.
Jesus.
Well, I mean, listen, the first 20 minutes of this has been rip the old man, has been what's going on. And I still stand behind my local beer, let the waiter or waitress pick it. It's just like doing that with a meal.
You've gotten more support in the chat than I anticipated. I will say.
Me too. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Is anyone giving up anything for Lent? Do any of you guys still do that?
Listen to what your mother's giving up for Lent. By the way, I can't remember the last time we're all raised Catholic. I can't remember the last time we've been to church. The Catholic Church kind of, yeah. You know,
I can't remember the last time I went to church.
I can't. Yeah.
How about Jax's christening?
Going to a mass on a Sunday church. This was a special occasion.
That was church, and I remember because it was like a pop quz that a lot of us failed. As far as
it was. You're right about that.
Words.
Dan's, so much Dan's the worst of it.
Oh.
Like, he refuses to say the new words.
I think it's ridiculous. They changed a few words.
And
it's
he
the dumbest thing.
Does this every time.
Well, why did they do it? I mean, seriously, a couple of words here and there? What kind of bullshit is that? Regardless.
And with your spirit.
Yes.
Regardless, I haven't been to a Sunday mass, and I don't know how long.
Yes, you have.
No, I have not. Oh, maybe I have.
Yes.
Okay.
I think this is the most I've been to mass out here, and it's not a lot, but in years.
We enjoy mass out here because we have a priest out here that we enjoy listening
that we like.
To.
We enjoy the priest more than Catholicism, quite honestly.
Yeah.
But that being said, your mother is giving up something for Lent, and it's probably a good thing.
I'm giving up going to the casino. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh. 40 days.
40 days, no casino.
Except
I think you're gonna last.
Okay, I have one caveat.
This is like Lent, but pick your spots, right?
No, it's not really.
Okay.
All right. I won't go with my mom and her sisters then.
So, because we had said her Chris's mom, who lives 45 minutes from us, her sisters are coming in town. And one afternoon
asked if we would go to the casino.
I said, well, that's going to happen during Lent. Well, she said, well, then, I'll probably take like a day and just go. So I'm going with them. Yeah, it's like picking and choosing. What if I gave up burgers and said, you know what? 3 weeks in, fuck, I miss a burger. I'm going to have one.
I won't go.
Can go with them and just not gamble.
Let's make this perfectly clear.
Right.
No.
Could you actually see that?
No.
You can smell this cocaine. You just can't do any of it.
Oh, my God. No, hon. You do whatever your heart tells you to do.
What are you giving up?
Well, I don't follow the Catholics shit anymore. I'm not giving
Ben
anything up.
Ben probably thinks you should give up sugar.
Yeah.
I probably should.
See, I guess that's the thing. It's just a time to like reflect on something maybe that you should step back from or do sacrifice.
Being type 2 diabetic, I probably should step back from sugar.
Yeah.
probably be.
I feel like that's a pretty easy one.
I probably should have done that maybe two decades ago.
You know, I prayed about it with my primary care physician and we really felt like the Lord was calling me to give up sugar.
So at this point, no, I'm not giving up anything, but your mother is giving up the casino.
Are you guys giving anything up?
I hadn't really thought about it. I usually just use it as a time to like lock in on getting in better shape, which I need to do because the last time I saw my primary care physician, I was a biscuit shy of 270. I was a healthy blocking tight end.
You were Michael Mayer.
Oh man, I wish. God. Handsome, skilled, he's got it all.
Gerard Judy again said, I'd go to church if Gojo was presiding.
Oh, yeah.
We got a taste of that at Sid's wedding.
Yep. You kind of did. Yeah.
You did a good job. Yeah. Yep. Instead of readings, you went the way of comparing movies. Movie lines. It was very good.
Yeah.
See, I know all the church words and I'm charismatic. So once you do that, you can do the stuff. It's how we get crooks like Joel Osteen in this business, yes, where you're charismatic and you know the right words.
That is nuts that he has that kind of money.
Joel Osteen, I mean, 70,000 square foot home, a 20 car garage of which he has 20 cars, and he takes a salary of $54 million a year. Why do you people give that crook money? Why do you do it? He isn't doing shit for you, but taking your money. Oh my God.
Because he gives you the feel good words, but then when it comes time to let the refugees in during Katrina, no room at the end, move on. People don't forget, Joel.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Amen.
Yes, somebody's heard his prayer, all right. Oh my God, what a joke he is.
Oh it's my God.
Oh God. Man. Okay. Oh, wow. Sydney, are you giving up anything?
No, I'm perfect. I don't need to.
Yeah.
How about Dan's credit card?
Yeah.
For 40 days.
Yeah. Oh, 40 days of your own money.
That's a good idea.
That is.
Sid, that's a really good idea.
I think we should move on to the next subject.
Mike, yeah, you give up anything?
No, nothing. Same answer as Sid. I'm perfect.
Go us.
Wow. The difference is your wife, Mikey.
Oh, well, good luck to those who are giving up something or making something.
Yeah. I hope you don't. I know your dad, Ken, always used to say, I'm giving up coleslaw.
Because he hated coleslaw.
That
was a dadism.
Yeah, that was a dadism right there.
Yeah.
Papa, one of the great innovators of grandfatherdom. If I am ever fortunate enough to be a grandfather, which, man, we're getting late in the play clock on that one, but if I ever weasel my way into that or like some grand uncle status, he is my goal. He is my totem, and he is what I want to be.
You can do that to my kids. We got to give them like some good character, you know? Like,
I mean, he left a lasting impression. There was no doubt about it.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
I feel like that we need to talk about Harry Stan leaving Notre Dame.
Oh.
It's time. They dropped that news on us right before the Super Bowl.
Which was the most Coach He Stan thing possible to make sure that this was not something that was going to get a lot of like fanfare or be talked about. I have no doubt that he wanted to make this as incognito. I'm just going to step away as humanly possible.
Like nobody would notice. Yeah. Come on.
And anybody who doesn't know, Harry Hiestand was the offensive line coach at Notre Dame. He was the old line coach for a year when Mike was there. He also coached in the NFL and then actually came back to Notre Dame to help when he was there just a year. And Tommy Reese, the offensive coordinator, went to Alabama, and then Harry retired. And we all think he's one of the – and, Mike, you played under him, one of the great O-line coaches I've ever seen. Tough to play for, but he got the most out of you. And that's – for Notre Dame, losing their old coordinator and losing their O-line coach, that was a tough blow, I thought, for them.
Yeah, it was a tough one. I'd forgotten, too, the connection. He had been in Chicago when Sydney and Ben were both there. So she got the up-close experience with Coach Hiestand also. Yeah, I mean, one of the most intense coaches and the standard bearer. Like I've said, I don't know how many times now, all of the success that Notre Dame enjoyed when Brian Kelly was in South Bend the last decade plus is not possible without Coach Hiestand. It simply doesn't happen. And you saw after he left the way that it was starting to look like, oh, okay, like the O-line's not as sure of a thing anymore. He's one of the few difference makers that exist at that position in the sport. So it's a massive loss. Like he changed my life. We saw him change, you know, Zach was already on his way, but a lot of those guys, Zach Martin, Ronnie Stanley, Quentin Nelson, Mike McGlinchey, Nick Martin, Chris, like all these guys that were the first round draft picks for Notre Dame were Heistand disciples. Even the latest round, you know, guys like Liam Eikenberg and Rob Hainsey and Aaron Banks, they were all guys that were a part of Coach Heistand's tutelage. And I don't know, there are just very few people in college sports where you can look and see immediate impact. Like when we were sitting in South Bend in 2012 when he got hired, I remember sitting with our O-line and just looking at all the stops that he had been at Tennessee and at Illinois and in Chicago before that, and you see the productions and you see all pros and you see guys going high in the draft. Like he was dead, you said it. If you stuck with it and listened to what he was saying and ignored how it came out sometimes in the forecast, you were going to be the best possible player that you would be. And that's what I always explain to guys is you've got the best O-line coach in football here. What you do with that is your choice. It is not going to be easy, but you see it can be overwhelmingly worth it financially and otherwise on the other side if you do.
I mean, I think it's safe to say you probably would not have finished your career at Notre Dame if he had not come to Notre Dame. Do you agree?
I mean, I don't know if I would have played. Like, he right. believed in me in a way that not a lot of people did at that time. And
right.
because I put in the work for him and all those things, like, yeah, it was a major difference in how the end of my career went. And what he did for me after, I've told the story about when I got cut in Pittsburgh as a rookie, I went back and he had me put together a highlight tape and then hand wrote a note to every O-line coach and person he knew on every roster in the NFL that he had a connection with and mailed it out with the highlight tape to try and help me get signed to a next team. So when you've got him in there, you've got an O-line room full of guys that would step in front of a bullet for that dude by and large, because that's what he would do for you on the other side if you're someone that's going to put 100% into the process, because that's what he does and that's what he expects. Like, he had a lot of pride in that offensive line room at Notre Dame because it mattered to him. You know, Joe Moore, whose lineage goes through Notre Dame, was an O-line coach considered one of the greatest of all time and kind of the godfather of that tree. That stuff mattered to him a lot, and it set the standard for a room in a way that, you know, it changed all of us for the better. Absolutely.
Yeah, he was physically going to get you ready, and you were going to be mentally a lot stronger if you could make it through his coaching. But Sid, when you were at the Bears, you got to see the teddy bear side of him, didn't you? When you would see him and talk to him? Because he loved you too, yeah.
When the news broke that I did the social media, so I was the person that like tweeted everything, and someone came out and they're like, hey, just so you know, like, we're getting a new O-line coach, is Harry Heistand. And I like freaked out. I was like, you're kidding. Like, I was so excited. And I was like, I know him. I'm like, he's the sweetest ever. And like, once he got hired, he called my phone in my cubicle and like told me to come down to his office because he wanted to say hi. And I just thought he was like the best, so sweet. But then like all the players were like, why do you think he's so, like all the O-linemen were like, why do you think he's so sweet? Like, he's like literally not at all. Like
he's a Sour Patch Kid.
Yeah.
Yes.
First oh, listen, me, when sweet. When you're not playing for him, he's awesome. Like going back now when he was still coaching at Notre Dame, Dad, when we go back out to practice and stuff, yeah. It was great. He's smiling yeah. and laughing and he's talking about all my good plays and stuff like that. Like, we don't have to remember all the blitz pickups that I missed now. We can talk about that one good block against USC that I had that they throw up on teach tape still. We get to do all that now because we don't got to win games together anymore. It's great.
It's a great thing, isn't it? It's a beautiful thing. Well, we think he's done? You think he's done, Mike?
Yeah, I think he's done. He's got, you know, his kids are all older and grown. He's got one son who's at Air Force right now. He's got another son who's coaching in the NFL. So he wants to get to spend more time with a lot of his family. And I would, you know, is the reason that we heard there. I haven't had a chance to really catch up with Coach Heistand since this yet, but I think he's done. I think when he came back, it was the place. It was, hey, I trust Marcus Freeman, who he was in Bears training camp when Coach Heistand was there during his first go around and had that connection. Tommy, who had been a player when Coach Heistand was at Notre Dame his first time. I just think all of those things created the perfect environment for him to want to come back. And shit, the impact he made already for the guys that were there last year. Yeah. Joe Alt was an All-American. Blake Fisher's going to be this year. Like, you saw it. The proof is in the pudding with him.
Right.
Yeah, I can't wait to go have a beer with him when we get back to South Bend. Such a great guy.
My favorite Coach Hiestand story was when McGlinchey and Hunter Bivin, who works back at Notre Dame now, were incoming freshmen one summer, and I was back. It was the summer going into my rookie year, and the Steelers had switched me to training camp and tackle in rookie mini camp. I'd never played tackle in my life. So I came back to Notre Dame and was working out with Zach and Watt and Coach Hiestand and kind of asking him to help put me through some tackle drills, since the stuff that you do is different. And I'm out there on the field in the summer, and Hunter and McGlinchey are walking by in like cargo shorts and flip-flops. And Coach Hiestand sees them going by and asks them to come out there and help. Next thing I know, they're shirtless and he's putting them through drills barefoot out there on the field. They're doing mirror and they're freshmen. They're scared shitless and trying to impress this guy. But when he says jump, they're just going to say how high. And so they're going through this, sweating their asses off. And I am dying laughing because I know exactly the feeling they're going through. But to watch, you know, Hunter, who's back at Notre Dame now in an administrative capacity, doing an awesome job. McGlinchey, who was a first round draft pick and has become a really good tackle in the NFL. Watching them as freshmen, shirtless and barefoot, wearing like belts, like they were on their way to class or something. For God's sake, out there sweating their asses off was just peak Coach Hiestand.
That is.
Dad has seen McGlinchey at a few NFL games he's called, and he says.
Oh, yeah. I told you this, Mike. McGlinchey's warming up, and I'm on the field, and he's warming up, going through run block and fits, and he's did it twice, and then he just turned to me and said, Harry's always in my head, always in my head. Like, boy, that's the sign of a guy who really, really helped you get to where you were. Because you were a first-round draft pick, you're playing in the league for a number of years, and you still remember what your college coach was teaching you. It's impressive.
It is.
There was a right and a wrong way to do everything with Coach Hiestand. So you knew. There was no gray area. It was all black and white. Like, Dad, I've always said the hardest part about this job is it's all gray area. You don't.
Yeah,
there's not like a cut-and-dry way to do things in this. And coming from that, where it was, no, this is what we do. This is our standard. And we will not accept anything less than that is a jarring switch for sure. So,
yeah.
Thanks to Coach Hiestand for everything. I hope he enjoys the downtime. I mean, he always said O-line coaches just sit in dark rooms and send each other cut-ups. So I don't know what he's going to do now. I don't know what he's going to do.
I know him and I are going to go to the linebacker and have some drinks. That's for sure.
A local.
I might have a local, yeah.
A couple of locals.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Wait. Speaking of beef, we haven't talked, I think, since the Super Bowl, the Kelce brothers, and just what a moment they're having right now.
Man. They are. I mean, Travis is going to host Saturday Night Live this week.
Yeah.
I can't wait to watch. Like, I never watched Saturday Night Live anymore.
He is such a personality. And obviously, I'm sure he hasn't done a lot like this. It would be a lot with the writers and stuff, but his delivery, I think, will be great.
It would be interesting if he could do a do-over on his dating show now, like what that would look like compared to when it happened originally.
Mom, I'm so glad you brought that up. I had a friend of mine say, I feel like we didn't talk nearly enough about catching Kelce this year during his rise back to prominence.
No. I mean, that had to be, what, 5 years ago already? Maybe more?
I think it was like six. Seven.
I don't know. It would be different now. Yeah. It would definitely
have like a longer
reach. Well, especially Sid, Mike, and Chris. You guys are all into those dating.
I don't know. So. Do you think he would do it at this point, or do you think he'd still be game to do it?
I don't know. So it was in 2016.
Okay. So 6 years
so like
ago.
Seven years ago.
Yeah. 7 years ago.
Yeah. And I mean, So Travis is my age exactly. He's 33. So going back to then doing a reality dating show when you're 26 versus 33 is a little bit of a different ball game.
And he was on the Chiefs that weren't the Chiefs with Pat Mahomes.
And now he would be doing the show as a walk-in Hall of Famer in the conversation as the greatest tight end of all time. So it probably would take a different spin. The one thing I noticed the most about the Kelce brothers, and I've gotten to talk to them both in doing games, and they're both so nice and respectful, is Jason, for as tough a some bitch as he is, dude's a crier. Dude is definitely a crier, man. He gets emotional. There's no doubt about that.
I love
it. Oh, yeah.
It's so cute.
Who's gonna say anything? The dude is just like a fucking vicious animal when he plays.
He's the best.
Oh, that's great.
They're the best. To watch them with their mom last week was so great. It was wonderful.
I was gonna say,
to watch.
Mom, were you just in sports nirvana watching sports moms have their moment?
I was. I really wish they could have. I know she didn't want to take away from like the moment, but I wish she could have been a part of it. But she did get to.
She
be,
did.
Yeah.
Got I mean, to give them their cookies on the media night, and
she was at the parade on the float.
You knew she was going to be happy and sad after the game. Happy for one, and then the moment with her and Jason. Yeah. Oh, God. Was tough. And then, you knew she'd be in the parade. It was all very cool.
It was great.
Very cool. I wonder if Jason's going to retire or not, Mike. What do you think?
Yeah, I would imagine getting as close as he did this year and knowing like they've got a pretty good shot to be close again, I'd have a tough time seeing him walk away at this point.
Yeah, I agree.
What year is he in?
A lot. He's probably, 30? He's probably a year, 2 years older than Travis?
I mean, are something we talking like he's in his 14th year?
So he's probably 35.
Jason's 35. He was drafted in 2011. Yeah. So,
okay, so
he's in his. Right. I think that would make this year 12 that he just finished up. Year
12. So he's going to his 13th year. Yeah, I agree. I could see him hanging around. They're the best old line in football. You know, I don't. That's not going to change.
Well, and you know, for him, like we always hear with these guys that are at that level where you're a Hall of Famer, like. The standard hasn't slipped. He's still one of the best centers, if not the best center in the league, playing on the best line in the league. Like, as long as physically, and he was healthy for this season, long as physically he feels up to doing the work in the offseason, which maybe now that he's a famous media professional, that changes, and he just wants to gasbag. Which, let me tell you, great choice.
I said to Dad, Travis never gets hurt. And does Jason never get hurt?
No, like, Jason gets nicked up a little bit. I mean, that position.
But I mean, it's amazing their durability.
Yeah, and you said it, Mike, because as I've always said, guys retire because they don't want to do the work in the offseason anymore. That's it. It's now until September where you have to put in all your work that nobody sees. And if you don't want to do that anymore, knowing full well you have to do it, to be able to play. So that would be an interesting decision for him. He's I haven't read if his wife had their kid yet, because that would be his third child.
No.
I haven't
heard anything. No. I think we would have seen that.
Yeah, so. I think so too.
Yeah.
So
it'll be interesting.
Nate M asked if Jason Kelce is a first ballot Hall of Famer. I'd say absolutely. I mean, Super Bowl champion, 5-time first team all pro, like resume-wise, I feel like he's there.
It'd be hard if he retired this year.
Yeah, I know.
With all the other people going in. Yeah,
Jesus.
That's a thing. Who else is going in? Because there's a minimum and a maximum. I think there still is in the NFL. And God knows I don't trust writers to ever do the right thing. But to your point, Mike, his resume says yes. We'll have to wait and see. Travis is a walk-in Hall of Famer as well. As I said, he is going to go down. He's now in the battle for greatest tight end of all time. He's in that discussion. So, and we've talked about this before. It could be the first the brother duo in the Hall of Fame. It would be amazing if they retired the same year.
That would be cool.
And then they both went into the Hall of – they would have to go into – any writer who wouldn't put them in together should never vote again, because they're both Hall of Famers. It's just a matter of what when they go in – you know, whatever the cue is to get in there. But if they were to retire together, that would be a no-brainer.
Yep, exactly. Weston Dudley said Jason sounded on his podcast like he was done. Dad, you know, right after the season, I take it with a grain of salt from a lot of these guys. You're exhausted mentally, physically, emotionally. And for them, the finish to the season had to be as emotionally draining as anything. You saw it. I mean, those two guys were crying all over each other on that podcast, relishing in what a special thing that had been for their family. And so I just think after all of that, who wouldn't be ready to collapse and be done with whatever they're doing?
So the offseason program, the OTA, start in April, but players start before that. Like, I started basically in February to start to work and get ready to the next year. And everybody's different. So, and I would imagine Jason is one of those guys that puts in his work. So I would imagine for him, it's probably coming up soon when his regiment says, I have to start working again. But you're right. Don't take for the first few weeks to a month after the season's over, don't believe a word anybody says, you know, because the immediacy of after a season is so tough. You got to give it a little bit of time.
It's by the way, I mean, that line too with him and Lane Johnson. I mean, Lane's probably another guy who's going to wear a gold jacket at some point too. Has been, you know, because you always think of that standard. Were you ever the best at your position at any point in the NFL? And I think both of these guys can lay claim to multiple years where they've been considered the best center, the best tackle, the best right tackle in the NFL at any given time. And I always forget Lane's my age, like. And guys my age now are finishing up long, fruitful careers if they're retiring at this point. But, yeah, it's insane to think about for that group that, you know, they're the best. They've got a bunch of young guys there, too. Landon Dickerson's an early guy. Isaac Suamala, I don't know what year he is at guard. Jordan Mailata's younger.
Mailata tackle. Yeah, the rugby player, he's unbelievable. Plus, but like I said, you never know. Tony Boselli was the best left tackle in the game for a number of years, and how long it took him to get into the Hall of Fame was a joke. It's a joke.
Idiotic.
Yeah, complete joke. So you just don't know with writers, especially at the offensive line position, because they're clueless about that position.
True.
I know. Thankfully, they didn't mess up Joe Thomas. That one was pretty
easy. That would have. Yes, yeah. People would have had to lose their ability, their right to vote if they screwed that one up.
Exactly. Speaking, guys, of first ballot, before we get everyone out here, out of here with the usual end to this podcast here of some Would You Rathers. First ballot Hall of Fame shot back from Giselle. Do you guys see her out here thirst trapping on Instagram, letting everybody know Tom ain't the only one slinging underwear pics out here anymore. Giselle, multiple time mom out here just abbing all over Instagram. You love to see it. Go off.
She beat him by a mile. By a mile.
I mean, they're around the same age, right?
I think so. She's like over 40.
I would try and Wikipedia her age right now, but I can't spell her name right off the top of
Giselle,
my head.
Giselle's 42 years old. So yeah, she's a little bit younger than Tom.
Okay.
What I'll say is, they both look incredible. Like, Tom looked the best that he has ever, like, we've seen his body publicly in that picture. Right. But, yeah, they both look incredible.
Sydney, she does jiu-jitsu, doesn't she? Like,
do jiu-jitsu.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, listen, he looks better than he did in his 20s. Well, now, she's been a supermodel. Exactly. She's been a supermodel for years, so I'm sure she looked pretty damn good in her 20s as well. Uh-huh. So.
She did, but they had a side-by-side picture of her online in her 20s in a similar outfit, and now she looks better now.
Yeah.
And she's birthed kids since then.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. I mean, salute her. Wow. Yeah.
By the way, when you're from Brazil and you do Brazilian jiu-jitsu, is it then just jiu-jitsu?
Yeah. It's just like it's just like in France, they just eat fries.
Yeah.
Can we be done?
Frites.
All right, do you have a would you rather? let's end this.
I got a couple. Would you rather have a completely automated home or a self-driving car?
Automated home.
What do you mean automated home?
Like, does the dishes?
Does everything for you?
Does your laundry?
Oh yeah, I don't.
I like driving. Yeah, driving. Yeah,
Mikey A.
I don't even think it's a question. It's the automated home. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. The self-driving car terrifies me. That just feels like it's waiting for somebody to hack that and run me off the highway.
I know. Yeah. I'm just so fearful of that. I agree.
Wasn't there a video not long ago of a woman behind the wheel of a Tesla asleep?
Yep.
Yeah. Guy followed her for like 10 miles.
Trying to wake her up.
Jesus.
All right. Yeah. Would you rather travel the world for a year, all expenses paid, or have $40,000 to spend on whatever you want?
Traveling the world.
Yeah,
I feel like money-wise, that doesn't line up.
Yeah.
I feel like...
Would you miss a comma?
I feel like $40,000.
Yeah.
Am I bringing my kids?
No, you get to go without your kids.
Then I'm going to travel.
Yeah. What if you had to bring your kids?
$40,000.
Yeah, I'll probably take the $40,000.
Less than a half.
Last one. I could figure something out.
Would you rather be the hero that saved the girl or the villain that took over the world?
Would you rather be the hero that saved the world?
No, hero that saved the girl, a girl, or the villain that took over the world.
I think the hero.
Yeah, I'd rather be the hero. Being a villain's hard work, man. You gotta do a lot of masterminding, and then
people
once you
are
get
coming
there,
for
you.
Yeah.
But I mean,
yeah, I don't have that much energy.
Think of the power you have if you took over the world.
Yeah, so but you're not a villain? Fucking person.
You're saying, yeah.
How about you be via villain, take over the world, and then turn to a good person?
Well, that's you're not how that bad. Works. Yeah. Like,
this is a reach, Dad. This is a reach.
All right. See, I'm going to go the other way. I'd rather be the villain. I think I could whip most of you people into shape. If I ruled the world, I think I could get some things in line.
That's fair. Wow,
you've got the plan that'll fix all this stuff.
Yeah.
See, I guess that's the thing. If you're going to be the villain that overtakes the world, you've got to believe in your heart like Thanos did that, no, I have the right answer to make things better, and I am the only one with the strength to get things
done.
Yeah.
Like, Dad, you've been watching The Boys. Like, that's the Homelander.
Yeah, exactly right.
Like,
yeah,
you people
right.
should be thanking Christ that I am here to save you. Has to be the attitude that you have.
And he's such an asshole. So, yeah, you're right. Yeah, it's very true. All right, I'm done.
All right, we're done. Well,
there we go. Well, thank you to everyone who showed up in the chat. Bobby C, Weston nice. Dudley, Nate M, Aaron Thacker, Stephanie Willis, all of you guys for checking this out live. You can check out the Sorry in Advance YouTube page and subscribe there. Check
tell
out these
friends.
Videos there. Yeah, go ahead and tell some friends. Hit some thumbs up button a bunch of times. Mm-hmm. You can download, subscribe, rate, and review Sorry in Advance wherever you get your podcasts. Leave us a 5-star rating. Leave us a review. Do all that fun stuff. And, Mom, what's the Twitter handle?
Our Twitter handle is SIA underscore podcast.
SIA all right, so, underscore podcast. Next time you're all out at a restaurant, and if you're a beer drinker, order a local. Or have one pick one out for you that they like.
So at SIA underscore podcast, the next time you are out at dinner, take a picture of you or your parent with a local beer.
Yes,
and let
us
know.
I'll literally take a picture of Dad on Friday and I'll tweet it to the.
Yes.
Oh, are we going out to dinner again?
Dinner and a movie. We're going to see Cocaine Bear.
Oh, yeah, we're going to go see Cocaine Bear.
Full Cocaine Bear review coming up next time. Thanks so much. And as always, we're sorry in advance.
I'm not.